道路，带着盼。我们非常感谢神，为我们请到今天的这个姊妹Slater 姊妹。我开始以为她不会讲中文，还说先准备一套怎么说。我因为我觉得我信神的这个过程当中，我是用母语来相信的，所以我祷告的时候很少会用英文来祷告。我真的不知道，那也许神对啊没给我这方面，所以我后来发现他会讲中文，我真的非常高兴。所以下面请这个邱弟兄介绍一下。
弟兄姐妹平安。很高兴今天有机会请 Kelvin Slaughter 来到我们当中。可能有些人还认得他，像关敏，他可能跟他的关系一直都很好。这边很简短的跟大家介绍一下，我们是在1998年的时候认识 Kelvin 的。那个时候他一直有心要把中国的学生来到美国能够学英文啊，所以他那个时候呢就开始在 UCI 有一个学英文的课。那慢慢从学生开始以后呢，他也注意到在这附近很多中国餐馆工作的人也是需要学一些英文，所以他从礼拜五在学生之间，然后改成礼拜二或者礼拜一的早晨，跟那些在餐馆工作的人也有机会一起接触，一起学英文。同时呢，他也可以学学中文。那过了几年之后呢，他想说这样子还是有限，所以他就决定去中国大陆。他现在已经去了有10年的时间。那他上一次回来是在2009年，我们也有请他来跟我们交通。那他上一次来的时候呢，是用中文给我们交通。事实上我们知道他在那边的几年的时间，中文已经学得很好了。那他今天呢，是说他用英文，就像刚刚冷静说的，怕他母语忘掉了。所以今天会用英文跟我们交通，所以我们后面呢，也请妇女姐妹呢帮我们做一个简短的翻译。那今天呢，他会跟我们分享他在中国跟那些学生的一些的情形。等一下他会有一些 slide， 你可以看到他多半都是跟年轻学生在一起。那昨天呢，他们也是跟 UCI 的年轻学生去看了那个 Son of God， 要跟他们一起去看电影，然后用一个晚餐一起大家都非常的喜乐。所以呢，我们请 Kelvin 跟我们分享一下他在中国的一些情形，我们就把时间交给 Kelvin。另外呢，他有一个中文名字啊，因为他的 last name 是 Slaughter， 所以他的姓是施，施比寿更有福，那个施，柔灵，温柔的柔，圣灵的灵，很好的名字。
谢谢。谢谢。我真的很高兴今天可以跟你们在一起。可是我的中文越来越差。因为我去中国以后，所有的中国人也 我见过的所有中国人朋友们，他们都要学习英文。第一次我去过中国，我是当学生学习中文，每天学习中文。所以我回来的时候也可以比较好的中文。然后第二次我回去中国我当老师了，然后那个中心说必须说英文，不可以说中文。然后晚上的时候我也有几个朋友们在一起，然后他们是年轻人，可能28到35岁左右，然后他们也要学习英文。所以我会去中文发现我偶尔说中文。在中国不需要说中文，只有简单的买东西去小的聊天可以，可是讲到现在真的很差。 可是这个我有一个照片给你们看，可能我试试用中文给你们解释是什么。上次我回去中国是2009年底，然后我在那儿4年，然后回来，我回去是青岛，本来我就是在西安，所以西安是第一个城市我住的，所以在中国西安是我的老家。我想西安，可是青岛的很好，也是很好的地方。我去过很多的地方，在中国都好漂亮，风景好，人都好，所以。我开始给你们介绍，所以这个是青岛，然后呢，我试试这个，我工作的这个不是学校，这个是一个中心，是ACT， 其实这个是美国的，然后他们专为高中的学生们去国外学习，所以这个是那个，最后一班是 third grade， high school senior， 对他们17、18岁，这个是我们他们是在那个海大大学，然后这个是釜山那个 campus， 然后我可以走到工作差不多20分钟就到了，然后我学生们那个班很不多。可能因为这个比较贵的地方，这个不是学校，是他们真有钱，所以那一班可能有25个学生。所以this one， 这个是colleagues， my coworkers， 所以我同事们，中国人是那个office worker， 然后外国人是老师们。我来这儿之前，他们给我因为你也回国，所以我们一起吃饭什么的。我来这儿之前一直吃饭吃饭吃饭，然后到这里以后，我一直吃饭吃饭吃饭，所以现在胖了，可是很好吃的。关于这些人，我只有一个人是基督徒，然后他们都知道了。我是基督徒，我不可以随便告诉他们。可是在中国可以的，可以做基督徒。好，这个是一半，这个是那个 conversational English class。这些学生们已经在美国，因为他们可能学习一年，然后他们是那个 pathway college。所以有很多的，在我的老家，在美国，我的老家是印第安纳州，我有2个大学，中国学生们已经到了，所以我可以跟在这儿可以跟他们，很好啊。这个是一个 speech class， 因为我教他们怎么听到那个教授的，怎么写 how to take notes。他的那个 main idea 是什么？他们都不知道。How to know main idea？ 然后他们听到以后写，然后需要给一个 speech。他们从来没有买那样的衣服，然后我用那个 video， 然后他们给5分钟的 speech， 然后用 video， 然后我给那个 video 你们看，然后你。Critique your video， 然后我让每一个学生来我办公室，我说这个是 office hours， 签名你可以选什么时候要来，他们都害怕，office hour 我不知道，然后他们又来，因为喜欢，因为我告诉他们可以来 office hour， 可以聊天英文，可以问我关于美国的文化什么的，如果你有什么问题就可以问我，这样我可以建立关系。然后他们到了美国以后， 我可以做好朋友，可以给他们介绍，也可以充满平安什么的，他们都对我好，因为有 office hour 我们做朋友们，然后别的老师们他们可能有一些问题，我觉得这个 是上帝的恩典给我这个idea， 然后我告诉他们啊，你就是做 office hour， 认识你的朋友，认识你的学生们，他们需要什么你就帮助他们，然后上课的时候我就没有问题，他们都哈都听话。然后上课以后他们要玩玩，他们学习怎么玩 American football。 我没有教他们，我就是跟他们在一起。他们都有那个英文的名字，然后他们来到美国以后，大学让他们用那个 LinkedIn sign up LinkedIn， 然后他们到美国以后没有用他们英文的名字，然后他们给我啊 invite to LinkedIn， 我说啊这是中文的名字，他是谁啊？所以我要问你他们啊你是谁？所以现在我也可以跟他们，这个是他们毕业，他们都很高兴，因为一年每一课都是英文的，那个 math science reading writing都是英文的，所以他们今天对他们都很高兴。然后那天我的老板也是美国人，他有三个老板，都他的老板是中国人，然后因为我不可以说中文，所以我的老板说啊毕业的时候这个 ceremony 我也说英文，那你做翻译用中文好吗？我说啊，我有很多的中国人他们可以，他说那他为什么不知道你会说中文，所以你在毕业的时候就是说中文好吗？我说哦好好，所以我那个时候说中文的学生们都说哇啊 Miss Lauder 你都可以听得懂我们上课的时候。我说啊你不知道啊。真好玩，这个是小孩，我们不可以在那儿教书啊，可是我们可以这个是圣诞节的时候我们去那儿送礼物，这个是那个 village school， 然后每个人我们给他们那个玩具，然后他们可以玩，然后我们告诉他们那个故事，圣诞节的故事，关于耶稣为什么来什么的那个也是挺好的。然后呢我也是有两个外国朋友们，他们参加一个圣职教会，然后在那儿那个牧师请我们来加一个英语的查经会，所以我们有那个每个周五晚上这个的会很不错，他们也是传福音的，这个是我的小组，我要备课，我要白天备课，晚上也备课，不同的课，他们要学习英文，他们这个是就是小部分，很认真的学习啊。然后他们有那个 outreach。我们去那个公园请别人来，然后吃饭什么的，然后他们请他们来教会参加那个英语的小组。还有我也有一个朋友给我介绍一下这个家庭教会，有的地方那个圣职教会还有家庭教会合作的，然后所以我认识了很多的人，还有不同的方法什么的，这个教会是什么敬拜神，这个教会都是政府让的，他们也说啊，虽然你还没有 register 可是还可以建，所以都是open， 没有 secret， 他们都知道我在那儿，我帮他们。然后他们有几个年轻人也要学习英文，所以我开始另外一个小组。其实一共我有白天上课，晚上是 four nights a week， 有小组英文的。这个是在我家，这个包括三子教会的人，还有家庭教会的人，然后他们学习，这个是一个门徒，这个是 discipleship group， 他们是刚信的，然后学习怎么 grow in Christ。然后呢，一个人他是这个中国人。你的左边，他是在香港出生的，然后搬到德国，所以他在德国长大了，不会说中文，所以他来中国学习普通话。然后在中国，他见了一个荷兰人，然后他们后来他就是他的男朋友，然后他们结婚，现在他们在荷兰，可是。他说他认识这个另外一个中国朋友，这个朋友穿白色的衣服的，他是参加那个 Jehovah Witness， 然后他说啊，我朋友参加那个 Jehovah Witness Group， 我想你可以帮他，所以我们学习一个 course 叫 Alpha 从英国来的，也是他们现在有这么学习英语的 Alpha Course， 他要学习英语，所以这个也是英语的。可是他，然后他参加一切，然后他决定离开那个Jehovah Witness， 现在他参加了一个家庭教会。还有他朋友，因为他朋友照顾他。这个我也有一个女的，他们要学习，有一个另外一个小组，这个是好像这个大部分都是非基督徒，然后他们要他们感兴趣，所以他们也要学习英文。所以这个是我离开中国之前，他们也要请我吃饭。这个是在他的家，他们做饺子。然后这个人，他是刚信基督，然后他说我不知道怎么告诉我丈夫，因为我要他也信徒，然后我说因为他有点怕，然后我们可以休息，我们开始新的小组，告诉你怎么传福音，然后他越来越 confident， more boldness， 然后有天他给我这个selfie。这个是我丈夫，现在他是信基督，然后他说I have confidence， 很好啊。然后这个是去年七月，然后两个星期之前，他给我发邮件，他说Kevin， 请很快回来中国，我丈夫他比我他是好的 Christian， better Christian than me。我说很好啊，很好。他做什么呢？他总是祷告，总是的 on his knees。非常好啊，因为他参加那个教会，然后那个慕道法，那你让他做那个 leader， spiritual leader of your house。然后他说好好好，可是你还快来好吧。这个女人她也。参加一个 secret group， 12个星期，我们学习关于 blood 血，耶稣的血，从旧约到那个新约，都讨论这个耶稣的血是什么，还有什么意思。然后三个月以后，我就是问一问他们，有人要信主，因为。如果你可能相信上帝存在，可是当就是 real follower 需要 commit， 你 commitment， 让耶稣做你的主。然后他说，我 I'm ready， 我准备好了。所以现在他是基督徒，可是丈夫还为他祷告，他还没有信。嗯，我想这个写小组的人，因为他们可能我见他们的时候可能单身的，然后结婚了，那现在他有孩子，我觉得哦，我的孩子们长大了。那spiritual children。好，所以这个是我在中国的经历， my experience in China. When I see the pictures, I miss China. I miss the people. And I'm so honored and humbled to be in China and to be with so many wonderful Christians that God let me meet. So many wonderful people.Okay, so that's about China. Now I'd like to share with you from the Word. So today, I will switch to English. today we will look at the book of Peter, 2 Peter. I'm so sorry, I forgot the Chinese verse to put on.I only have the English verse. My title is Living in Light of Eternity. Let's 可以一起祷告。Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time we have together. Thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for this church.Who supports me so faithfully for many years with a prayer and encouragement. I pray you bless the brothers and sisters here in this church as they grow in you and in the knowledge of your word. And bless us today as we delve in deeper into your word. Help us learn what you want to speak to our hearts today so that when we leave here, we will not be the same. We will be different.And help us to apply your word to our life today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3. I think I would like to read the whole chapter in English. And then if we have a brother or someone who would like to read in Chinese, a sister, we can do that also. The English version is taken from the New International Version, NIV.And I think I have on the, let's see, here we go. If maybe it's too small, we can try. So the NIV version says, Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking.I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, Where is this coming? He promised.Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire.Being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Living in light of eternity. So that, there, I left a word out, living in the light of eternity. So that's two different meanings. We're not talking about the light of eternity. We're talking about in consideration of eternity. So when you think about eternity, how should we live? Living in light of eternity. Peter was writing to the believers. He was writing to the church, to believers everywhere. So it still applies to us today. The church in the New Testament was growing rapidly and spreading. So false teachers came into the church. Peter wrote to warn them against false teachers, and there are still false teachers today trying to pull people away from God. I've seen it also in China. Falun Gong, they have Eastern Lightning, and they talk about that. My people in the small group tell me Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, they say they are Christian. Very good people. But they're false teachers. They pull people away from the one true God. So it's so important to know the Bible and to understand what they're saying. So, New Testament church was spreading. He wrote to warn the Christians. He also wrote to tell the Christians about the hope that they have. We have a hope. We have something to look forward to. The day of God is coming. And we have the same hope. We have this to look forward to. So when we look at verse 1, it says, I want to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Wholesome thinking. That means our mind should be sincere, uncluttered by the things of the world. So Peter's saying, I want you to think on good things. Philippians 4, verse 8 tells us how we should think. Set our minds on things that are pure and lovely. So he said, I want to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Verse 2, I want you to remember the words spoken by the holy prophets and the command from the apostles, the command given by our Lord. So the word spoken by the holy prophets, they received from the Holy Spirit. So what they received from God is completely reliable. They can trust that. And the holy prophets said, Jesus will come again. False teachers were coming in and saying, where is this coming? It hasn't happened. Is he really coming? Maybe they were not telling the truth. So Peter has to remind people in the church, remember, God spoke to the holy prophets, and what they say is reliable because it comes from God. In verse 3 it says, scoffers will come. Scoffers are those who make fun of what they hear. And it's probably happening in many places all over. There are still scoffers today if you are ridiculed in the workplace, ridiculed at school for being Christian, then they are scoffing and they are mocking Jesus Christ. And it was happening here. And why do they do that? He says, they are following their own evil desires. So the scoffers, they want to live the life that they want to live. If they recognized, if they really believed Jesus was coming back again, they would have to change. They would have to change their life, their heart, their attitude. So they don't want to do that. They like to live a selfish life and please themselves. And so they scoff at it and say, he's not coming back. And when you look at verse 4, when they ask this question, where is the promise of his coming? It sounds reasonable in the beginning. It sounds like a reasonable question. But in fact, they're trying to make an excuse for living a sinful life. And we still have people like that today. And how can we minister to people like that? So Peter gives them an answer. He answers them. He tells us in verse 5, they forget about what the prophet said. In fact, he said, God's word, God spoke. He said, the scoffers, they forget. God spoke and creation existed. God said, let there be light. There was light. God said, let there be the heavens. Genesis chapter 1. All it took was God's word. He said, those people have forgotten. God spoke, and the waters, the flood of Noah's day, destroyed the earth. They had forgotten. The scoffers had forgotten that. So, what God says he will do, he will do. He cannot lie. He will keep his promises. Peter points out that God is absolutely in control. Even when people are beginning to doubt, maybe why is he delay? Why does he wait in his coming? Why do these things happen in my life? But for the believer, the follower of Jesus, we know that God is absolutely in control. We may not understand the things that happen, why they happen, when they happen, but we can trust God. Because we follow his son Jesus, we follow him. It says in verse 7, fire is being kept for the day of judgment. In other words, they're saying, oh, he's holding that fire just to destroy. No, what he's really saying is he's restraining that fire from destroying because judgment must come. But God is waiting. Waiting and waiting and waiting for more people to repent and come to him. So it's being kept back from destroying us right now. And at the proper time, judgment will occur. And when you look at verse 8, he says, don't forget this. This is why it hasn't happened yet. God's time is different from our time. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So here he's quoting the Old Testament. Verse 8 comes from Old Testament, a book of Psalms, 90 verse 4. And a lot of apostles would quote the Old Testament because they're telling them this is what's going to happen. We can trust the prophets. And Psalm 90 verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. So Peter's referring them. God has made time for us. He is existent outside of time. I often think about that. Even as our brother was sharing about the airplane this morning, when I flew back from China, I had that same experience. In fact, I flew to Arizona right before coming here, a week ago. And I flew in to Phoenix at sunset. And the sun was so beautiful. And all I can think about is how awesome is our God? How big is our God? God absolutely has everything under control. And he put all of this universe together, the heavens and the earth, and yet he knows every hair that you have on your head. That's how awesome our God is. And when you look at nature, it helps remind us God is in control. So how should we be living? The Lord is patient with us. He's waiting for more people to come in. So while we're waiting for Him to come back, we know Jesus is going to come back. We're in the last days. Peter was writing to people that were in the last days because Jesus had told them, I'm coming back. I'm going to come back for you. This is what C.S. Lewis, famous author, has said. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world, heaven, that they have become so ineffective in this one. And it's not that we're not living for God. It's just that sometimes we get so busy with life. And there are two extremes. Maybe you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Or maybe you're so busy on earth, you forget that, hey, this is not my home. I'm a pilgrim. My real home is in heaven. And I come to realize that the more I travel, that it's hard to find a home, right? What do you call home? Where you were born, where you live now, where you work. My home is in heaven. So he says we need to think more about that. When we look at verse 11, this word that says how we ought to live, when you look at the Greek, because it was translated from the Greek into the English, it's talking about an obligation. Do you have a sense, an obligation to think about eternity, to think about heaven? Peter says, if you're not thinking about that, you need to be, because that's going to be your eternal home. Our life is so short here on this earth. And your eternal home for the believer is heaven. For the non-believer is hell. And so the non-believer needs to be thinking about eternity. Because whether you believe in life after death or not doesn't really matter. There was a time when people believed the world was flat. But the fact still exists. It was round. So the fact exists that we all have a soul that will live forever in eternity. And one day we will all go to one place. And so we need to be thinking about that. In that light, what kind of people should we be? Here's some verses that tells us how we should be living in light of thinking about eternity. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So we know we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So we love the people in the world, but we don't always love the things that the world, because the things of the world will pull us away from God, drag us down, and sometimes can even get us depressed. So don't love all the things in the world. It can cause your heartache too. Hebrews 11:13. Talking about the people who died in faith. They believed God's word. Verse 13 says, these believers, they all died in faith. They did not receive the promises. They have not received the promises. But having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So we don't need to get our feet too firmly planted on this earth, but think about, well, the day will come. And that is our hope. Yes, we must live in this world. We must plan for the future. But we must plan in accordance with eternity. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Oh, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So when we think about heaven, it should impact our decisions. Every decision we make, because we are believers, needs to be thinking about. Jesus is right beside me everywhere I go. So if I go into this place, I'm taking Jesus with me into this place. What does he think about where I'm going? Would you go with me to this place, Jesus? Let's have a conversation. And so even in this light, we need to be thinking about the Holy. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you," and the Holy Spirit is always with us. So easy to get wrapped up in different things here. Jesus himself told us in John chapter 14. This is his promise to us. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so the only way to have this eternal life, we know, is through Jesus. And people, there may be people in this room today that are thinking about that. You need to remember the way to eternal life is through Jesus, to receive him as Lord and Savior in your life. If he's coming to take us to be with him, we as believers, we ought to be living with that already in mind. How will I be spending eternity? Should I be doing that right here, right now, preparing for what I will be doing there? What will I do in heaven? Will I just be singing around the throne all the time? Will I be floating around with the angels? What will I do in heaven? I believe God has special assignments for each of us. And we're proven by each step that we take. We're going to be, he said, there will be rulers over cities, governors. I mean, he's going to have a place for us in his kingdom. We're going to be busy people. So in light of that, we're already busy. How should we be busy in light of how we will be serving him for eternity? Oh, how we should be living. This is Matthew 6:10. And we often pray the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And here in verse 10 it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, do we really mean that when we pray, your kingdom come? Are we really prepared for his kingdom to come? Do we know what that means? Because we're living in the last days, that means destruction will come first in order for his kingdom to come. Are we getting all of our friends and family into his ark of safety, like the ark of Noah, into becoming part of his family, becoming a believer in Christ? So we need to prepare for that day. Are we really prepared for his coming? Are we ready for the light of that day dawning? Peter calls the believers here to pay attention to the fact that Jesus is coming and we need to get ready for that day. And what will happen in that day, in the last days, when the destruction comes? The earth is going to, what's going to happen to the earth and the heavens? Burnt up. It's going to be destroyed. And before we have this wonderful eternity with him, because judgment has to happen, we live in a sinful world. And I can tell by the news, you just listen to the news and it's all negative. And you can see that God is at work. They're just not reporting all the good news. There really is a lot of good things happening, and revival is happening across this nation. And I see it happening across the globe. I have friends that live in different countries, and they talk about how people are coming back to God. You know why? Because they're empty, and their needs are not being met. There's a longing that's not being met, and they're coming back to him. So in light of this, how excellent we should live. Not really how should we live in light of eternity, but how excellent we need to live an excellent life in light of eternity. We need to live this holy and godly life that is mentioned in verse 11. It's saying we need to be devoted to pleasing God. That's what holiness is. Devoted to pleasing God. In our words, in our actions, in our deeds. We don't look forward to this destruction. That was going to be a horrible, horrible time. But after that, the day of God, we look forward to his coming. We look forward to him. So in verse 14 it says, let me go back here to the... When we see this, We need to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. So when we think about that, be diligent in being spotless and blameless. So spotless, we're just talking about our character. What kind of character do we have to our colleagues, to our family, to our unsaved loved ones, our friends? What do they see in us? Do they see a little white lie? Oh, they call themselves a Christian. Do they see, you know, people say, I am good. I'm a good person. What makes you good? Well, I don't kill. I haven't stolen anything. And so their standard is what? Their standard is other people. Well, compared to that person, I'm a good person. But God's standard, compared to God's standard, what kind of a person are we? His standard is the Ten Commandments. That's what He gave them. He said, this is what you need to live by. And nobody can be perfect and do all of the Ten Commandments. That's why Jesus came. But because people think, oh, I'm a good person. What we need to be when we are spotless is basically, we know we make mistakes, but our character is right. Because we want to do what God wants us to do. And when we make a mistake, we repent and we try to go on and do the right thing. Blameless. When we look at spotless, blameless, your reputation. What is your reputation like for your colleagues, for your classmates, where you work, in your neighborhood? What kind of reputation do you have? Are you friendly or do you smile? Can they see something different just about your life just by looking at you? I noticed that when I'm in China, I can walk down the street and I'm looking and I see, that person's a Christian. Somebody else next to me will say, how do you know? I said, look at the face. It's Jesus. And they say, how do you know? I said, well, if you receive Jesus, you can find out too. Christians, we are one in Christ. And so we have the bond of Christ. And His love shows all over us, our reputation. When we need to be found at peace, if you knew that tomorrow you were going to die, would you be at peace with your heart, with your soul? Where would you be 1 minute after you die? This peace comes from Jesus. He gives us supernatural peace. We can receive Him and follow Him. And every time I have some kind of decision to make, I look to Him. And what about this job? What about this city? Where should I live? What's cool? And if I don't really know, I wait for His peace. His peace, if there's any doubt, if there's any question, any fear, because that is not from God, then I don't do that. So Christians have peace that passes human understanding, is the peace that comes from God. Peter says to those who belong in Christ, we need to live with this. We have no fear of the day of judgment. In fact, we look forward to the day that Christ is coming. I knew a lady who knew about God, but she didn't follow God. She made some bad choices, and she had married a man that was not a believer, and the man had a very bad temper. He got angry very easily. And she was in an abusive relationship. And she ended up, she was with that man for quite a few years, and ended up getting a divorce. Made another bad choice. She married the man's brother. Oh. The brother, turns out, liked to drink. He didn't abuse her, but he drank and he was not there for the family. They had 4 children. And she lived many, many years like this. And one day, she got sick. She had a terrible disease. And she was going to die very soon. And so I was talking to her about this. What happens 1 minute after you die? And we would talk about heaven. And we would just be casual. We would drink coffee and read the Bible. And she would ask questions about heaven. And she said, I think that's the place I really need to turn around. That's the place I want to be. And so she gave her heart to the Lord, and it was just a month later that she went to be with him. So we don't want to wait until it's too late. I mean, God always gives us time. But I know that he is patient and loving toward us, and that he wants all of children to come into repentance, to come into his kingdom. And I know that this lady was truly saved, because the lady I'm talking about is my older sister. And last time I came home in 08, 09, is when that I had this conversation with her. And she's 16 years older than I. I didn't really know her when I was growing up. She got married before I started school. So I got to know my sister as an adult. And I know that one day I will see her again, because she made that decision, and she decided that I'm going to live in light of eternity. And then she started telling her kids about the Lord, even though she had very little time left. But once you make that decision, it's a life-changing decision, and the joy of the Lord comes in. So what I want us to do today is think about, how should we live in light of eternity? Well, we should live. How should we live? Excellent. We can have an excellent life in light of eternity. Live for Christ. Let his light shine through you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. Let's pray today. Thank you, Father God, for your word. I pray that if there are any people in this room today that have not made that decision to follow you, that they will commit to you today, that they can talk to the elders, the deacons, the brothers, the sister, that they can tell them that they want to know Jesus Christ, to make Jesus Lord and Savior, and that we can all live with excitement and expectation that you are coming back, and that we want to be ready for you when you come. You are coming, and we want to live this life right now in light of eternity, as we will be living with you. And so I pray that you just be with us throughout this day, throughout this week. Bless the brothers and sisters as they live for you. Give them your love, your support, your guidance, the boldness that they need to live for you in a very dark world who doesn't know you or acknowledge you, and sometimes even have scoffers. God, I pray that you just protect your children and give them the words that they need at the right time, and protect their families, their health, and just to be with them and bless this church with abundance of blessings from heaven. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, 我还是记中文，也是就是记名字，我也是记中文比较容易的。这个给我们这么好的信息，让我们能够真的有神的眼光来看我们的这个世上的事情，能够有一个永生的盼望，是不是？